Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning, one moment, please. L'ilui nishmas Miriam Freud, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham. Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah. Also, let us say, Ezoschus Rufua Shalema. Oh, four. I have their names here. Sheila Bat Luza Aliza, Daniel Ben Luza Aliza, and Yosef Ben Ahuva Masuda for Erefuah Shalem Vesoch Shar Chalei Yisrael. You know, besides the fact that it was just Hanukkah, that's not Hanukkah anymore, that's the end of time, it comes and goes very quickly. Two major communal, national Jewish events happened on Hanukkah that are at such opposite ends of the spectrum that really illustrate the whole saga of Jewish redemption. On the one hand, we are reeling from the tragedy of the Azan family in Brooklyn. I saw the a short clip of the Levaya in Eretz Yisrael. Gavriel Sassoon was masvid, gave a eulogy at the Levaya for Aliza Azan and her three children and her mother, I saw, collapsed. So on the one hand, we are reeling from such an inexplicable, unfathomable tragedy we can't understand that comes from Chanukah, Shlichu Mitzvah, Einu Nezikin. We can't understand. And then on the other hand, on Zos Chanukah is the final, embers of Chanukah, so to speak, we're proverbially going out. We have the news that's on the totally opposite of end of the spectrum, which is that Hashem is Matir Asurim, Hashem releases the ban. And Shuas Hashem Karefayin, in the blink of an eye, God's salvation comes. And it's really two opposite extremes that symbolize the whole saga of Jewish redemption. Rav Soloveitchik says that there's a zigzag pattern to redemption. It's not a clear path. When Hashem told Avram, first one to recognize your Ribbono Shel Olam, L'achal me'artzchom l'adchom beis avicha l'artz asher arvecha v'aschal l'goy gadol v'yabracha. So then Aram gets there, and there's a famine in the land. So they go down to Egypt. Then he finally has a child and sacrifices your child. It's not a straight road to redemption. It's a zigzag road to redemption. And as a nation who is Imo Anochi Betzara, that we don't exist in a vacuum, that Knesset Israel does not exist in a vacuum, where we feel each other's pains and we feel each other's joy. I don't know if you saw, there's so many video clips going around of them making a Shechianu with Rubashkin, as he came out, Rabbi Rashkin, as he came out of jail. Kosh Baruch is in charge. If it shows us anything, I said the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of everything. And it reminds me so much of Yosef, because in an instant, the king needed Yosef. And in an instant, he went from the Nar Ivri Aved, the Sar Mashkim, the Kapor, says, oh, I remember my sin. You know, down there is a Nar Ivri Aved, a lad, a Hebrew, a slave. And Rashi says it was all derogatory terms. He was insulting him. He languished for 12 years in prison. And there was no, and then said, okay, he was the prison warden, but he's in prison. And then in a moment, he's out. So the Ribbono Shel Olam's in charge.
I didn't know. It doesn't say Vayikhu min habar. It says at the moment that he was supposed to get out, and that a second later, when the Yeshua came by Yemisu, the Lashon of Ratz. So the Chafetz Chaim says that's how it's going to be when Mashiach comes. The second that Mashiach is supposed to come, it's going to come.
So that's the same thing we have by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Is that what you said? Is she by Yitzias Mitzrayim or by Yosef?
Yosef.
By Yitzias Mitzrayim also. The time for the Geula had arrived. It was the moment of 400 years since Leidas Yitzchak. The exact moment of the redemption had arrived. And that's when the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out. So I just want to quote from Maseches Yuma, bless you. Okay, Maseches Yuma Lamed. Hey, it's a beautiful piece of Gemara. It teaches us that you have no excuse for not being Osek in Torah, for not living a Torah life. But I'm specifically quoting from it because of what Yosef says at the end to Ishus Potiphar. I'm not going to read you the whole piece because it's very long. But the Gemara says famously, which you may have heard of, the rabbis taught in the Braisa, Anir, Ani, Ashir, Virasha, Ani, Ashir, Virasha, Bayin Ladin. A poor person, a rich person, and a wicked person come to judgment. Again, the part I'm quoting from is only because of at the end, but it's a beautiful teaching anyway. So to the poor person, they say, Mipnei lama lo asakta b'Torah, why didn't you learn Torah? So the poor person's going to say, Ani ha'isi, well, I couldn't. I didn't have time. I was a poor person. V'tarid b'mizonatai. I didn't have time. I always have to be in the office. I didn't have time to work. Amrim lo. So they say to him in the yeshiva, Shamala klum ani ha'isi yoser mihilo. Were you any poorer than hilo who made time for Torah? You couldn't couldn't have been poorer than Hillel. Then the Gemara goes into the story that he didn't have enough money to get into the base medrash that day, so he goes onto the roof and he sleeps on the sunroof. And in the morning, they look up, it had snowed, and they said, "Why is it so dark in here? There's no light coming in through the skylight." And they realized that Hillel was up there. It was Teves, actually, it was Teves. We're now in Teves. The snow descended upon Hillel, and the Amud HaShachar, when the light comes up, Shmaya says to Avtalia, and Avtalia, my brother, every day it's light, and today it's dark. Why is it dark? Who is up there? He wanted to restore Torah so badly, even though he didn't have money. So they're going to say to the Ani, you may have been poor and busy with making parnasa, but you weren't poorer than Hillel. Asher Amrim Lo, to the rich person, they say, Mipnalo Sakta Batorah. So what do you think he says?
So busy making
the same thing. I'm so busy with my business. The poor person says, I'm too busy making parnasa. The rich person says, I'm too busy making parnasa.
Rav Steinman would be a good example.
What?
Rav Steinman would be a good example. Did you see the pictures of how he lived?
Did you read his spiritual tzava?
Yes. Unreal.
He said, I beg of you not to refer to me as a tzaddik or a yirei shamayim, so I will not be insulted in the olam ha'emes.
I couldn't believe
what should we say? Stuff. What should I say? So they say to the rich person, Lama lo asakta b'torah? Why were you involved in Torah? So he says, Ashir ha'isi b'tarit ha'isi b'nechasa. I was rich. I was busy with my possessions. I'm also busy with my parnasa. We're both busy with our parnasa. So they say, you're not any wealthier than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom. So then it goes on to say, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom's father left him 1,000 cities on dry land and 1,000 ships at sea. He never managed his cities or his ships. He appointed an overseer to take care of his business. Why did he do? Yoshev b'osek b'torah kolim v'kol laila. So in other words, if you're so rich, you could hire someone to do your business for you. It's not an excuse for not making time for Torah. Rasha Amim Lo, so the Rasha, they say to him, Mipnei Lama Lo Asakta B'Torah. So who remembers? Who's the proof of the Rasha? If Hillel is Mechayiv the Ani, and Elazar ben Charsom is Mechayiv the Asher, who's Mechayiv the Rasha? Yosef. Of all people, Yosef. Yosef, whose last name is Tzadik. Yes, because the Gemara elsewhere describes how badly he wanted to be with Eshes Potiphar, and he did not. He had a very strong Yetzer Hara. It's not that he's a Rasha, but the Rasha is going to say, I was overcome with my Yetzer Hara. So they're going to say, you couldn't have had a greater Yetzer Hara than Yosef, who overcame. It's not an excuse. Here we go. Rasha, ma'umim lo, mimpnei la ma'lo sakta b'torah. Im omer na'i ha'isi v'tarur b'yitzri. Oh, he has a different excuse. I was very beautiful and very handsome, and I'm busy with my Yetzer Hara. Amrim lo, klum na'i, so you're Yosef, you're not any more handsome than Yosef HaTzadik, Amru Alav al Yosef HaTzadik, B'chol Yom Vayom, Haisa Eishas Potiphar, Misha Dalto Bidvarim. Every day she would try and seduce him with words. Bigadim Shalav Shalo Shachus, Olav Shalo Arvis. The clothing that Eishas Potiphar wore in the morning to seduce him were not the clothing she wore at night for him. Begadim shalav shalo arvis lo lav shalo shachus. He would come, he was the steward of the house, he was in charge of everything, and she was always changing her clothing for him. Whatever she wore in the morning, she didn't wear in the evening. And then when she wore in the evening, she wore in the morning. Always something else. This is why I'm bringing you this Gemara. Amalo hi shamali. Yield to me. Surrender to me. Amalo lav. No. Amrlo Harini Chovashtacha Bevesa Asurin. This is why I'm bringing this Gemara. So she said, I will put you in jail. Amarla Hashem Matir Asurin. You can put me in jail. You can do whatever you want. God is in charge. He releases the bound. Harini Kofefes Komasacha. I will bend your stature. I will bend you down low. Hashem Zokif Kafufim. He said to her, God is the one who straightens the bent. Harini Misama Eseinacha. I will blind your eyes if you don't yield to me. Hashem Pokeichivim. Hashem is the one who gives sight to the blind. She gave him 1,000 kikarim of kesef to lay with her, to be with her, and he did not want to listen to her, not for this world and not for the next world. Concludes the Gemara. Nimtza Hillel Mechayiv Esa'aniyim. Hillel is the one who is Mechayiv Aniyim. Obligates the poor people who don't study Torah, more than obligates. Proves that they really aren't so poor that they don't have time for Torah. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom mechayiv esar shirim. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom obligates the wealthy. Yosef mechayiv esar rishayim. Nobody was more handsome, had a bigger yetzer, and yet he overcame. But the reason I bring it to you specifically is because why did he answer her back with, you could do whatever you want for me, but it's not in the hands of Baser V'dam. It's in the hands of the Ribono Sholem. You could put me in jail, but Hashem is matir suim. You could bend my stature, you could bend my proudness. Hashem is zokif kafufim. And finally, you can gouge out my eyes, and Hashem is ultimately the only one who is pokeach irim. So everything is in the hands of the Ribono Sholem, and I think that we see so strongly from these diametrically opposed occurrences, one that is tragic beyond words, there are no words, that is painful beyond words, that we can't understand, and one that is a Yeshua, on the other end of the spectrum, that really ain't omevado. There is nothing and no one besides the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I'm just up. And a quote from Living Room 3, which I am enjoying very much.
Okay.
Thank you. It was a memory of your mother, right? I like it so much. I bought it for someone for Hanukkah.
Oh,
so that's in Hirschus also,
you know,
because you gave it to me in
Hirschus. They came out, my daughter bought it, a teen one.
Say it again.
They came out with a teen one?
Oh, very nice.
And a children's.
Oh.
And so she bought them, and everybody's just gobbling.
I don't have any of them. I don't even have the first or the second. This was the first one, and I'm just enjoying it very much. I gave it to someone else. I bought it for someone else. Anyway, so I just want to quote from here, because for the people who are listening to audio, I'm quoting from Living Amunah 3, Rabbi David Ashiar. Ashiar?
Yeah.
So the title of this, it's very beautiful. You don't have it. It's just very short lessons in like 2 to 3 pages. You don't have to read a whole chapter to have a very nice lesson. Okay. So this title of this one is called Only Hashem. So I thought there might be something nice in here to relate to what we're speaking about. We're talking so much about Amunah. And you know, the whole class is on Amunah, if you ask me. And you can't have Amunah and Hashem only in the good times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hashem is matir surim. He's zokiv kafufim. He's pokeach ivrim. And we saw it happen today, mamash. You know, it's unbelievable because we talk about the power of Zos Chanukah. The 8th day of Chanukah has a power that's lamala min hateva. On the 8th day of Chanukah is called, this is the essence of Chanukah. 8 represents a force above nature, showing that Klal Yisrael does not exist within teva. I saw a video of them dancing in Lakewood. I saw in 770. I saw in Stalin, Carlin Stalin in Borough Park, Rabbi Potash from Darchem. My brother says Rabbi Potash is in that video. He's a Stalner Chassid all over because Mikam Chayisrael. But of course, we know that we can't only have Amun and Ribbono Shel Olam, like my brother says, when it all works out nice. And then there's the other times when we don't understand and we still believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the show. We just can't understand it. The Arya Chaskel writes in his Ma'amar HaYichud, so now I'm quoting from Living Amunah 3, that the goal we are trying to achieve in Amunah, and this is the pasuk that we've spoken about so much, is the words we say in Aleinu, V'yadata hayom v'al shevos alavavach, you should know today, and return it, or put it into, internalize in your heart, ki Hashem hu Elohim, Hashem is Elohim. This pasuk really relates to what we're saying. On the one hand, there's Hashem, which is rachamim, mercy, and on the other hand, Hashem is Elohim. There is din, there's both attributes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, b'shamayim im'al, in the heavens above, and on the ground below, Einod, there's no other than God. Writes Rabbi Ashiar, how do you pronounce his name? Ashir? There are no other power or forces. No one has any control other than him. Not people, not animals, not terrorists, not bosses, not doctors. Ein o mevado. There's nothing besides for Hashem in the world. So we understand that people are shlichim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's how the world works. Listen, there was Moshe, who is a shaliach, to take us out of Mitzrayim. I actually saw on the Sefer of Shimshon Pinkas on HaTorah V'Kinyana. It's a vart on Sefer Shemos, but he speaks about Shemos. He says, the whole Sefer of Shemos is called Shemos, which means names. But when you read the beginning of Shemos, nobody has any names. Shefer and Pu are nicknames. Vayikach ish mi beis Levi vatikach isha. And she had a baby. Nobody has any names. Why can't it say Amram, Yocheved, Moshe, Vateisatzav, Achoso? Why can't it just say who stood from afar? Miriam. It has no names. He says it's so strange. No, he doesn't use the word strange. It's such a paradox. The book itself is called Shemos. These are the names. And then you start to tell me the story. And there are no names. Why? He says, because Rav Pinchas says it's to teach you. If there would be names, so you would think, Amram and Yochaved saved the people. Moshe, this baby is going to save the people. Taking out the names of the people represents that ultimately, yes, even though there are individuals who are players for the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're all on God's stage, it's really all Hashem. So Rabbi Ashir writes, Ein o mevado. There's nothing. There's no power. There's no force. No one has any control. Not people, not animals, not terrorists, not bosses, not doctors, not world leaders. Chazal tell us in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Ein olamo mekomo. The world is not his place. The world is my place. I inhabit the world. Vis-a-vis God, it's not that. It's not the case. The world inhabits God, so to speak. Hu mekomo shalom. He is the place. And everything here inhabits the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak. Rabbeinu Yonah holds, every time we see through nature and we attribute the happenings of nature to Hashem, we fulfill the mitzvah of bitachon. Mitzvah of bitachon, trust in Hashem, is seeing Yad Hashem in everything that happens. When a person in a troubling time calms himself down with the thoughts that Hashem is in charge. And Hashem could help in an instant. It's so funny that I turned to this page, only Hashem, and it's just so relevant to what happened to us as a nation over Hanukkah. That is also the fulfillment of the mitzvah bitachon. That, in other words, even if you don't see the Yeshua yet, but you know that Hashem could help in an instant, that is fulfilling the mitzvah bitachon. And if there's any doubt that Hashem could help, if someone's not so sure, it's not only a story that happened to Yosef thousands of years ago, but I mean, we see it today that when Hashem changes the mind of a leader, in an instant, whether it's in ancient Egypt or in modern day America. Obama was asked to grant clemency. How many did he grant clemency to before? At the end of his first term, at the end of his second term? In an instant, when Hashem changes the mind, v'tipa'im rucho, and Paro feels agitated, and Paro feels disturbed, and no one can settle his mind, it's all the Ribono Sha'olam. So then he specifically goes to talk about Parnasa. Many people are worried about money and jobs, which is interesting because it relates to the Gemara that we just saw. The poor says, I can't learn Torah, I'm too busy making money. The rich says, I can't learn Torah, I'm too busy managing my money. So when it comes to money and jobs, people are worried. Medrash Haggadah Parshas Vayeshev says, come see how great the power is to recognize Hashem is the only provider. As the verse states, Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, blessed is the one who trusts in God. Hashem will be his security. There are people without jobs who worry about the future. They worry about how they will pay for this, provide for their family. We need to strengthen ourselves. By the way, it's not only in terms of Parnasa. And please, we shouldn't misunderstand. Clearly, a person in a difficult financial or in any difficult Nisayana situation needs to do their hishtadlus to take themselves out of that situation. So I don't want to be misunderstood as giving the wrong impression. We can't all sit on a chair and say, well, I'll find a job if I sit on my chair. I don't make a phone call, go for a job, and don't go for an interview. Could happen, but there's also hishtadlus, and that's the way Hashem formed the world, that man has to do hishtadlus. On the other hand, we need to strengthen ourselves and internalize Hashem is the only one who gives us everything. He could provide in an instant. We say, Antuzan the kola umafarnis the kola Aramaic. You feed us, you provide for us. Lo al enash ruchitzana. We do not rely on men. When we have bitachon in Hashem, success, luck, parnasa will chase after him. Then he gives two examples of the story. But the underlying theme is that the awareness that Hashem is in charge of everything, and that when a person waits for Yeshua, can come in instant. I think one more thing we learn from the freeing of Rabbi Rashkin, and that is we can never stop davening, that even if it seems like your Yeshua is not coming, and not coming, and not coming, on a personal level, whatever it is, whatever you're waiting for, and it seems impossible and improbable, and the Supreme Court won't even hear your case, and nobody will listen to you, can't stop davening. You don't know. You don't know when the right time will be. When the right time will be, the right time will be. Okay, any questions or comments? Oh, okay. So please turn to page 86 in the second sefer. And having said that, we should always be zochot to share only besuras tovos. Only and always. Umach Hashem dima me'al kol panim. You know, we're coming up to the beginning of the end. Asar v'teves. It's Arli Yom Gimel Teves. And 1 week away from Asar v'teves. And Asar B'Tevis, Kitov says, this is the beginning of really the Churban. And the Churban, when we talk about the Churban, did you see that 1 minute video clip? I quoted it last week, Rav Steinman Zatzal saying, I quoted it last week, Susan had sent it to me, and he said that all of our struggles and all of our trials and all of our tribulations and all of our nisyonos, our pain is a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Everything is a result of the Churban. Every loss down till today is a result of the Churban. So we're coming up to in a week. We mourn for our Churban Beis HaMikdash and every tzara that we face. And sometimes it's on such a magnitude that it's very, very difficult. It all comes from Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, page 86, please. I'm just going to make a bracha. Bracha tatin ma'ilavinu melech ha'olam
shalakol nehiyah petra.
Amen. Okeinu melech ha'olam. Hashem is God of the hidden. Ne'alam, I gave up much link to your share in it, but if you didn't hear it, olam, and ne'alam, it's not an accent, it's the same word, because we live in a world where everything is very hidden from us. We see half a picture, if we're lucky, we see half the picture. Maybe we only see a fraction of the picture. Elokeinu melech olam, he is the God of what is hidden. Shal kol nehi abidra, everything occurs by his word. Okay, page 86, and the second sefer, thank you for the water. Attaining awareness of the Creator. I'm really working on this, by the way. I'm really working on it. I tell myself at random intervals, maybe not every half hour like I should. Sometimes I forget that it's half hour. I should really put that timer on. I tell myself, Hashem, Where are you? I really say this, I promise, not aloud. Only here I could say these things out loud. Hashem, where are you? Right here. And then I say, can I see you? No. But can I see germs? I'm sorry, that's the example that was used in the Sefer. No, doesn't mean they're not here. No. What are you doing? You could see me. You're watching me. Right now I'm doing it. Is anyone else doing it? It's okay. We could be open. Yeah. You're embarrassed. You don't want to tell me. It's private. I understand. Okay, it's my job to tell you what I'm doing. That hopefully it'll be mechazek office. But I'm really doing it. I'm really working on it. I'm trying to, in random places, wherever I am, not only when I need the parking spot of Gurmala, just in random intervals throughout the day. Hashem, where are you? Welcome to the bus stop this morning. Right here with me. Could I see you? No. Just like I can't, doesn't mean you're not here. Of course you're here. Yeah.
It's like we spoke about that you should talk to Hashem, not just when you're davening. It's the same idea.
So
I'm not saying where are you, but I am. Asking him and talking to him outside of davening, which I know.
So interesting you're saying that, because in my Torah piece, which is going out tomorrow morning, I quoted from Rabbi Yoshua Berman from that very hesped, but I didn't quote that part. When he speaks of Rav Moshe Tversky's Patira, so he says, he asked Rabbi after 9/11, Rabbi, what should we do? So Rabbi said, talk to Hashem. This is a quote. I don't mean during davening. I mean just talk to him. I just wrote the piece this afternoon. And here you bring that up.
Right. So it didn't come naturally, and I had to, but now I do.
Right, so you have to work on it.
Yes, but I do.
Attaining awareness of the Creator. As we've tried to make clear, once you feel that Hashem exists, and sense that this emunah is a life source, the next step is to strive to clearly recognize Hashem is right nearby. And as I said, I really am really trying very hard. Hashem continued to help me to do this. The heart must come to really sense this. This will literally take years of effort. So, Shani, tell them what you WhatsApp me about the Hanukkah miracle, and then I'm going to add on to it.
I don't know if you learned about the Hanukkah niece and Yehudas chops off Holofernes' head and yay, we win. And that's how I thought the story went. And I just found out this year that they continued to fight for, I think, another 23 years afterwards.
After the Pach Shem and
after the menorah, 23 years. That's that's a long time.
Okay, so
I was very broken by that.
Okay, so Shani, you test me, it's very disappointing, that we tend to think the way we learn. And that's because when we learn about the miracles, we're not learning historia. We're not learning exactly what year it happened, exactly which king, exactly which Antiochus Apostanus. I mean, I wish I learned the historia part. Also, it's fascinating. I would love to begin with Jewish history. I'm getting the time to go really in-depth Jewish history. Unfortunately, right now, maybe I do have the time and I'm not maximizing it. I don't know. I don't have the time right now. But the point is, so Shani was very disappointed, like she herself just said. So I think it's a strong Mr. Haskell. There's nothing that occurs in an instant, unless Hashem brings us a Yeshua in an instant. Nothing from our perspective occurs in a moment. Maybe that's meant to teach us that they saw the beginning. They saw the light. Is very much intended. They found the shaman that was Bechos Moshel Kohen Gadol, and they found the flask of oil with the seal of the high priest, and they were able to lay him in. But their avoda wasn't finished. If the avoda would have just been finished in terms of conquering the enemy, and that's an illusion for the enemy within, then you would think, oh, fine, I found the oil, I'm done. Oh, Nancy just showed me something on her phone.
Yeah, it was from Aish. Yeah.
That before us, Nancy showed me the danger in Avodas Hashem, in service of God, is not if you sink or swim, it's if you float. It was from Aish.com?
Yeah, it was from Aish.
It's dangerous to become stagnant, because then you're not moving at all. Think about it. Someone who's sinking is fighting to come back up. Even while you're sinking, you're fighting to come back up. And someone who's swimming is fighting to move forward. But someone who's floating is just happy where they are. 1 second, please. So I think it's a very strong Mr. Haskell. I never heard that before, but again, I don't have proper historia background at all to comment on it. But if they really fought for 23 years, I don't think that's depressing. I think it's a big source of chizuk to me. Because just because I see the beginning of the Yeshua, the beginning of my voter, the beginning of my Nitzachon, I should not come to the point where I think, I reached the climax, the apex, the top of the mountain, I'm finished. I have to know, no matter how great the miracle, how great my voter, how great my Nitzachon, I still have to keep going. I think it's actually a tremendous chizuk. That's our whole life. What's the sentence we just read? It will literally take years of effort. So you search and you search and you uncover a little bit of pure oil in the midst of all that impurity. They defiled all of those. Timu kol shmanim. They defiled everything. okay, so I found something, so I'm making progress, but the progress doesn't end with finding the oars. I'm going to have to keep working years and years and years. And the danger is, I'm not if you sink or swim, because in both cases, you're moving to survive. One case, you're trying to get back up, because nobody wants to be, I'm not talking about a mentally deranged person, please. In general, people don't want to be the person who's sinking. So you're swimming to move back up. And if you're swimming, you're going forward. But if you're floating, you're just happy where you are. You're just laying on the raft, going with the winds. That's very dangerous. Yeah.
If a child is stagnant and floating, it's going to be.
Are you talking about literally in swimming or proverbially?
Learning.
When you're learning. When I was telling a parent of a student, okay, if a child is stagnant and does nothing over the summer, okay.
Right.
Then they're going to sink. Then there is no such a thing as being stagnant.
Right.
And with our mitzvos and with us as well, we can't do status quo.
Which is just the floating.
Right. So that's exactly. So that's why it's amazing.
Yeah, she saw it on me. She just showed it to me. So that's why I think we should get chizuk, a lot of strength and a lot of chizuk from the fact that they continued to fight. That's true gedula. That's true greatness. That's a true gibor, a true courageous warrior who wants to keep fighting. And say, oh, I'm happy with what I have. Okay, so that's enough. I found the Pachsham, I'm finished. No, you keep fighting until you really drive them out. You keep fighting your Yetzer Hara until you drive them out as much as possible in this world. It will literally take years of effort. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Okay, it's a different perspective, but I think it's an important perspective. In fact, the Mesillas Yesharim in the chapter on fear of sin, second paragraph, ladies, page 86, states that sending Hashem's presence is the most difficult thing to be really grasped by the heart. Why? The senses do not assist with this at all, right? So normally when we identify something as there, either I hear it. If I can't hear it, I see it. If I can't see it, I could touch it. If I can taste it, I have different physical ways to identify my senses, my surroundings. But with the Ribbono Shel Olam, none of my physical senses will help me identify that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the master of the universe, the creator, is right with me. The senses, why grasp material things, material matter? Why? Because they're material. This is something materialistic. This is Afar Min HaAdama. So I cannot perceive the creator who is not materialistic or physical in any way, shape, or form. The only faculty in the person that can sense him is the divine soul within. And that's the first stage of avodah. It's uncovering the soul, because the soul is the window to the world of God. If you don't uncover your soul, then you're floating, because you can't sense Hashem any other way. Nothing can be perceived without corresponding tools, right? You need a tool to dig up a garden. You need a tool, a stethoscope, to hear someone's heart. You need an otoscope to look in someone's ears. You need a spatula to cook. You need appropriate tools to accomplish your goal. So too, you need a tool to rise higher in intangible avodas Hashem. What's the tool for tangible avodas Hashem? Nothing tangible of this word, but rather the soul, the neshama. Neshama shenafachta b'tahorihi. That's the only thing that's absolutely pure. Elokai, my God, one of the first things we say in the morning, neshama shenasata b'tahorihi. It's the only thing that's absolutely untainted. All my other body parts eventually become, I'm not talking about gedolim, a lay person like myself, eventually become utilized for sin. In some way or shape or form, my legs take me to sin. Ragayim yarutzu lahara, my hands do sin, my eyes certainly, my ears, my mouth, forbidden foods, not making a bracha, did I make everything? And some level is used for an avera. Only the soul is pure. Nothing, therefore, can be perceived without corresponding tools. The physical world is grasped through the bodily senses. Godliness can only be sensed through the divine soul present in each. We say in the morning blessings, the soul you placed in me is pure. The soul is the only entity that can sense Hashem, because he has no body. There's no corporeal qualities. And that's why, by the way, it's very, very interesting. Even though the Torah assigns anthropomorphic terms to Hashem, Vayishmas kol Hashem elokim mesalech began, Vayirid Hashem alahar, Vayomer Hashem, the Torah speaks in humanistic terms of God, because Rashi says that's the only way the ear could understand it. But Targum Onkelos in his Perush on the Torah will never interpret God's actions in humanistic terms. Onkelos will not assign anthropomorphic qualities to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Hashem came down will be Hashem revealed. himself, because Hashem doesn't come down, but Hashem can reveal himself. Fascinating. What did he say?
No, I mean, that's very, the language, that makes a difference. That makes a world of difference. Literally.
Isn't that interesting? And that's why Unkos, the Aramaic explanation of the Torah, changes any anthropomorphic humanistic terms to something else. Hashem doesn't come down. Hashem is revealed. Therefore, as long as you have not succeeded in awakening the divine soul within, at least to some extent, you cannot feel Hashem is nearby. So I was thinking that perhaps that's why Yosef said the Kriya Shema, not Yosef, Yaakov in this week's Parsha, when Yaakov and Yosef finally meet after 22 years of separation, the most unbelievable Yeshua. You know, did Yaakov really know what happened to Yosef? Why did he have his proof? A bloodied coat. A bloodied coat. And Rashi says, when all his sons, Periklam and Zayin, Ve'akumu kol banav ubenosov l'nachama v'yima'in l'hinachem, after Yosef is abducted, but he doesn't know what happened to him, and he just gets his bloody coat. All his sons and his daughters get up to comfort him, and he refuses to be comforted. And Rashi says there, why does he refuse to be comforted? Does anyone remember? Because you don't accept comfort over a person who is alive. So somewhere in the back of his mind, in his soul, he always hoped that he doesn't really know what happened. Did he see the Nifter? Chas v'shalom? Did he see a body being buried? Did he see Kfar Yisraelis? That makes me think even more after this afternoon with the pardoning or the commuting of the sentence of Rabbi Bashkin. It makes me think even more. I was already thinking of it in regard to Yosef's, Yaakov's, the unknown. On behalf of Yaakov, and what happened to Yosef is the soldiers who were kidnapped in Mifsat Tzok Eitan 3.5 years ago, Hadar Golden and Oron Shaul. Oron Shaul's father, within a year of his abduction, his father was diagnosed with cancer and died very quickly after. He was a young man, he was in his 50s, and Oron's brother said, "My father died because we declared Oron dead." He said, "Why do we declare him dead?" "Because they found a helmet with a bullet hole. Is a helmet proof? And my brother's dead." So the fear and the unknown and uncertainty. So what I was going to say is, after we heard about Rabbi Rubashkin's sentence was commuted, that we began by saying Hashem could do whatever he wants, and that Yosef said Hashem is the matir asurim, he releases the band. Hashem is the zokif kufufim. So Be'ezras Hashem, just like we saw a Yeshua today, we should be on Arad is missing, Zechariah Bamel is missing, Tzvika Katz is missing, 30, 40 years, they're missing. Their families don't know what happened to them. So we should be zocha that all of those who are imprisoned in one way or another should be zocha to their matir asurim as well. So my point is, after all this time, in this 22 years, when Yaakov and Yosef finally meet, you would think Yaakov would either be at a loss for words, or he would say, "I never thought I would see you alive again, and I can't imagine, and here you are." But what happens? Yosef goes on his chariot, and he goes to meet his father to the land of Goshen, and he sees him, he falls on his neck, and he cries on his neck. And it's very ambiguous. Doesn't tell us who's crying on whose neck, but Rashi, this is according to one opinion. There's many other opinions, but Rashi says Yosef falls on Yaakov's neck. Yaakov was not crying or falling on Yosef's neck. What does he say? Amru Rabbi Seni, the rabbi saying in the Medrash, Shahaya Kore Eshema. What was Yaakov doing? We know he was declaring the Kriya Shema. The Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim I've seen in my life. The Elokeinu, the Midas HaDin I've seen in my life. Hashem Echad. It all manifests from, called the Avad Rachman Latav Avad. Everything that Hashem does is for the good. Everything that God does is for the merciful. And at the moment of this intense emotional experience and this intense Yeshua, he takes all of those feelings and he channels them. What is he in essence saying? What I say in my silly language, Hashem, where are you? Right here. Can I see you? No, but can I feel you? Do I know you? Are you in my heart? He's taking that intense experience and saying, where's Hashem? Right here. And if Hashem is the one who's in charge of everything, then who better to turn to in this moment and say, you're right here. And therefore, he pours out his love vis-a-vis the Rabban Hashem. Rav Salvechik says, under religious idealism can be lost, either under extreme duress or conversely through unbridled joy. Unbridled? Rabbi, like, unbridled. Boundless. How would you say it? Like, not constrained. Rabbi Akiva recited the Shema undergoing torture, very, very famous. His body was raked with combs of iron. And yet Yaakov recited the Shema at one of the happiest moments of his life, the instant he encountered Yosef. In both occurrences, God's name was sanctified. So a greater awareness that Hashem, where are you? Right here, than taking that powerful emotional experience and saying, it's all Hashem. The only so then Rav Soloveitchik says as follows, the only absolute love permissible is our love of God, which is very interesting because remember we saw a different passage where Rav Soloveitchik says you can't have faith in another person. Remember he says that faith in man is sacrilegious. The only faith you could have is who? The only faith you could have is in Hashem. Here he says the only permissible love you can have is for God. When Yaakov finally saw Yosef after so many years, he felt an overwhelming love for his son. He was concerned that the love was so, listen to this, overpowering, it might not be subsumed under his unlimited God, love for God. How do you pronounce this word?
Yeah, subsumed.
It means included under something else, okay? He was concerned, but his love for his son was so overpowering, it might not fall under the umbrella of love for God. And therefore, he recited Shema, affirming that his first and only love was for the Ribbono Shel Olam, God, and that any other love falls under love for God. What's fascinating about this, I don't know if you saw the letter that Gavriel Sassoon wrote to the Azan family, specifically to Yosef Azan. I don't know if you saw, or the Nazi, my phone is, could you Google the letter of Sassoon to Yosef Azan, but he says to him there, the only way to get through this, Rahman Salam, we should never know, we should never even have to speak about this. Mm-hmm. The only way to get through this, he says, is to love Hashem. That's what Gabriel Sassoon, his children, Rahman Salam, were killed 3 years ago. It was Rosh Chodesh, and he even writes, my children were also taken on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because his children were taken on Rosh Chodesh Teves. Rahman Salam, we don't know, Hashem should have mercy on us. But what he writes to him is that the only way to survive this is with love. And that is what Yaakov, that's how Rav Soloveitchik explains Yaakov's recitation of the Shema. He had such intense love for Hashem, because one is only allowed to love God. And when he feels this overpowering love for Yosef, he's afraid that the love for Yosef is going to supersede the love for God. And therefore he channels the love for his son under the umbrella of Va'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. Okay, you want to hear? You want to hear? Okay. Gavriel Sassoon lost his 7 children 2.5 years ago. And I saw, I mentioned in the beginning of Shir, I saw the video clip. He was Masbir in Eretz Yisrael in Cholan at the Levaya for the Azan, Aliza Azan and her children. Gavriel Sassoon gave a Hesped, but he also wrote a letter. I mourn for you, my brother Yosef. The fire by my house also occurred on Rosh Chodesh. This is Rosh Chodesh Teves. That was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The days that the Nisim began bringing their sacrifices, their kabbanos, to consecrate the altar. By you, the fire took place on Hanukkah. We are part of the same community. Our children learned in the same schools. Some of them were even friends in the same class. This is what Gabriel Sassoon is writing to Yosef. Azan Yishav Rafush Lema. The Nesi'im consecrated the altar to make the Mishkan usable for holy service. On Rosh Chodesh, Hashem asked for sacrifices to be brought. But the temple does not exist today. Therefore, God takes the righteous from amongst us in order to be the sacrifices. He's saying that there are no korbanos anymore today. But it's Rosh Chodesh, and God demands a korban on Rosh Chodesh. So he says one father to another father, God takes the righteous. Our families were worthy to fulfill among those who approach me. I'll be proved holy. Bekrovai Akadesh. Not only were they close to God, they brought the rest of the nation closer to God. Yosef, you must rise. This is the command of your life. Without it, there's no way to cope with a pain so all-encompassing. But this is fascinating because it relates very much to Yaakov channeling his love, not to Yosef, but to Hashem. Vahafta. How do you rise? Quote, you must simply love. Accept with love the tribulations and suffering. Love Hashem. That's Vahafta. Hashem Elokecha. The Rav says the only absolute love permissible is our love for God. It's such a mandriga that we should never, ever be tested with that it is, for me, a level that's very, very difficult to understand. Love Hashem, love everyone in the whole nation of Israel, do whatever you can. In the power of that love, it's possible to overcome the feelings that will continually try to pull you down. Feel you are really resting in Hashem's embrace. Love is life. Signed, Gavriel Sassoon. So, Robertson, do you want this? I didn't drink from it. Okay, so therefore, when he meets his son, and it's such powerful love, Yaakov realizes that the only love in the world that he's allowed to have, that we are permitted to have, the only infinite love is the love of the Creator. And we have to feel that Hashem is nearby, even at such intense, emotional, humanistic experiences. There's Hashem right there. Our main avot. Wait, does anyone have questions or comments? No?
Well, he's a very, Mr. Sassoon is a very, very sensitive and very classy gentleman. I have
Who?
To, Mr. Sassoon. I mean, that's a very, that's very, yeah,
what
noble,
did he say?
Very noble, noble and very, noble. And very sensitive, because 2.5 years is not such a long time. So he's probably still mourning, so that he stepped outside of himself. That's really wonderful. That he did that, and very special.
What did he say?
He said it's his whole life. Mm. It's not years, it's forever.
Yeah.
He lost everything.
Mm. Our main avoda in this era of Salvechuk says that the minute Hashem said to Avram, Kachnas bincha, sichicha, shahavtas, yitzchak, valeu sham, lechucha, artsam, roli, valeu sham, ola, chalarim, sharaka, the very moment God commanded Avram to sacrifice Yitzchak is the moment that Yitzchak was sacrificed. He said Yitzchak no longer existed at that moment. It's as if he already implemented the avoda of actually sacrificing his son. It's interesting because Gavriel Sassoon talks about the karbanos that Hashem demands that man bring. And that's where Salvechuk, maybe it's Salvechuk, I don't remember where Saul pointed out, but something very interesting. One second. The whole time it's talking about his son. Vayakar es Yitzchak bino. Vayomer Yitzchak Avram Avi Hineni Bini. The whole time he's referring to Yitzchak as his son. But as soon as Lishchor as Bino, the whole lashon of the story is that he's going with his son to sacrifice his son. But when the Malach of God calls him from Shemayim, Avram, Avram, he says, "Here I am." And he says, "Al tishlach yadcha al hanar." Oh, it's right here. Nar. It's not talking about the son anymore. He's not talking about his S-O-N. It doesn't say, it should say, al tishlach yadcha al bincha. The whole time it's talking about your son. Now it says, nar. Nar is a boy, a lad, someone external to you. One would be mistaken to assert that the sacrifice of Yitzchak never actually occurred. At the moment that Hashem told Avram to take his son and bring him as an offering, Avram no longer saw Yitzchak as his own. Yitzchak was God's. Avram considered Yitzchak as if he were already sacrificed. And therefore, when he said, "Don't send forth your hand to the lad," it was as Yitzchak were born anew at that point. The earlier son, the previous Yitzchak, was already sacrificed. Avram already consecrated him. The minute he was told, "Take your son, he's mine," Avram gave him to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The angel did not send tell Avram, "Don't stretch your hand against your son, but rather your lad." To say this is a new child, it's not the original. What happened to the original one? Avram already gave him to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's just finish one more paragraph. Our main avoda in this area is to escape. I didn't realize what time is before I said that, but since I said it, let's just do it quickly, Bli Neder. Our main avoda in this area is to escape from the material world. Someone here brought up Rav Steinman. We're talking about light years away from Hamon Am, that's for sure. Our main avoda in this area is to escape from the material world, to begin to actually live in the spiritual world. Oh, so this is what I want to say on that sentence. Live in the spiritual world. There are people like me. I am a Jew who tries to live by Torah and mitzvos. And then there are gedolim like Rav Steinman who are Torah and mitzvos. There's a big difference between a Jew who tries to live Torah and mitzvos and a Jew who is Torah and mitzvos. Live in the spiritual world. Not know about the spiritual world. I know about the spiritual world. And then there are people who live in the spiritual world. The Hani Malchus biography, how did she do it in her kitchen? There was this big, how did she do it? She knew it wasn't her. She said all the time, Hashem has 14 children. Hashem has hundreds of guests. Hashem cooked for Shabbos. Hashem teaches in seminary. She knew it wasn't her. It's not someone who tries to be a Jew who fulfills the mitzvot. It's someone who lives in a whole different world. You don't know about the world. You're in a different world. I'm not in that world. There are people who are in that world. Because even when a person learns Torah, fulfills mitzvot, even though those are divine matters, there's no guarantee your soul is engaged in the act. You could be fulfilling mitzvot, and it could be a physical action. Making bari nefashos is a physical action. You could light Chanukah lich, and it's a physical action. Doesn't mean your soul is engaged in the act. One might learn Torah solely with your brain. Maybe it is a wonderful, stimulating intellectual experience. You could perform mitzvahs with your hands. There's no guarantee that your essence is involved and that your soul is at the fore. And that's the avodah. It's to reveal the soul and to ensure that I am not doing Torah and mitzvahs, but I am striving to be Torah and mitzvahs. So we should be zocha. Yeah? David HaMelech, 89. That's right, his essence. It's not that he was davening, it's that he is the tefillah. So we should be zocha to always share only besuras tovos for us and Klal Yisrael. And the zigzag road to redemption should be straightened out. Mumacha Hashem Dima me'al kol panim v'cherpas amo yasir me'al kol ha'aretz. Have a very good Shabbos and a chodesh tov to all.